Father, as we think about your word this morning, I pray that you would give us ears to hear and hearts to learn. Amen. Well, Rob said there's a theme this morning, and I've been given a question to answer. And the question is, can children choose faith if not shown? What do you think? Can children choose faith if not shown? Well, I suppose the short answer is yes. In the grace and providence of God, it is possible to come to faith through direct revelation, possibly a dream or a vision. We know that Paul had a supernatural meeting with Jesus on the Damascus Road, where the risen Lord turned Paul from a zealous follower of dead religion to a true believer in Jesus. But Paul knew that this was not the usual way in which the Lord called people to faith. In fact, it was Paul himself who wrote to the Romans when he said, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." But how are they to call on one in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in one of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone to proclaim him? And the last words in Mark's gospel of the risen Jesus to his disciples start with, "Go into all the world and proclaim the good news to the whole creation." Matthew, the end of his gospel, records similar words. The Bible shows us clearly that God's appointed way of bringing people to faith in Jesus is through being shown by others. Why is this so? Why can't everybody be brought to faith through a Damascus Road experience? Well, I don't think the Bible tells us that explicitly. The Bible does say in Deuteronomy 29, verse 29, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the revealed things belong to us and to our children forever." The revealed thing here is that people need to be told so that they are able to believe. The secret thing is why God has chosen this way. We need to know the what. We might guess a little bit about the why, but we don't need to know that. The what is that people need to be told. So if the short answer to can children choose faith if not shown is yes, then the longer answer is, but not usually. Usually, if children are to come to faith, they need to be shown. If children need to be shown, who's responsible for doing the showing? Well, church certainly has a part to play. And we're blessed at St. George's, I think, in having a dedicated and capable team running excellent groups for children and for young people. And if children have the opportunity to have accessible and interesting gospel teaching each week, then there is a greater likelihood that they will come to know Jesus as their own Saviour. Once upon a time in this country, we could rely on schools to impart a measure, at least a measure, of Christian teaching to children. I can remember singing that in the first school that I taught at. I can remember singing that first hymn we sang this morning, "Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven," because we used to have an assembly. It was an all-boys school. We used to have an assembly every morning. And we used to always start with a hymn. It had to be a hymn that the brass band could play, but there was some good Christian hymns sung. So, religious instruction was on the school timetable. and the religion was mainly, if not wholly, Christian. Now, religious education is multi-faith, and in many schools it concentrates on customs, rites and festivals rather than on core beliefs. And despite a few notable exceptions, there are fewer and fewer state schools from where we could hope children will learn much about core Christian beliefs. But if a child has Christian parents, then surely it's these parents who are the most obvious ones to be the primary source of the gospel. I'd have thought so, wouldn't you? But not everybody agrees with that. I've heard more than one person express the belief that it's wrong for parents to, as they put it, indoctrinate their children into Christianity. When I was a young dad, I remember a friend being very disapproving of me and Sue. "So, you take your children to church each week?" she asked me with a very critical tone of voice. And she was even more disapproving when she learned that Sue and I read the Bible to our children and prayed with them. "Well," she said, with a very, very self-righteous manner, I thought, "we're not going to indoctrinate our kids. We're going to leave them to make up their own minds." Well, actually, ultimately, we all leave our children to make up their own minds. We don't have a choice. That's what they do. But my friend believed that she was giving her children a blank canvas to develop their own thinking while we were forcing our children into some sort of mould. She obviously considered that she had thought things out very wisely and carefully while we had blundered along with the foolish thoughtlessness of the fundamentalist. But I believe she was wrong on two counts. The first reason I think she was wrong was in assuming that it was possible to be neutral in this matter. If you don't speak of God to your children, don't read his word with them, don't pray together, if you don't live your family life as if God is relevant, and if instead you live your family life as if God is irrelevant, then you are teaching them at best that God is irrelevant. Or maybe that he doesn't exist. There is no neutral way. My friend was just teaching her kids that God was not relevant. The second reason I think she was wrong is because it was against what the Bible teaches. Now that wouldn't have worried my friend. I think she would have called herself a Christian. But she didn't think that the Bible had much to say to her. Again, that was for fundamentalists. Her brand of Christianity was basically from her own thoughts and ideas of what it was to be a good person. And she was pretty sure that Jesus would have agreed with her. There's a lot of people in our culture who call themselves Christian but subscribe to this way of thinking. But I believe that we need God's word, God's revealed word, to show us the way. And that's what we're going to do today. We're going to look about what the Bible has to say. And I'm going to share with you now some key verses that show us God's way of revealing himself to humans, to humankind. Right back in Genesis, we read what he said of Abraham. This is in Genesis chapter 18. "I have chosen him that he may charge his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord." That he may charge his children and his household after him. So early on in the Bible, we see the primary method by which the Lord is made known. And that is through the family, children learning from their parents. The secondary method follows on from this primary method. The gospel received through family teaching is not a treasure to be possessed exclusively within a select group, but it's to be shared. And the Lord shows this when he told Abraham, and this is in Genesis chapter 22, "By your offspring shall all the nations of the earth gain blessing for themselves." That's the foundation of evangelism. By your offspring shall all the nations of the earth gain blessing for themselves. The responsibility of parents to their children was central to the covenant that the Lord made with Abraham when he said, "I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you. As for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your offspring after you, throughout their generations." Covenant promise, covenant blessing, covenant responsibility. Your offspring after you. The covenant that the Lord made with Abraham was for him and for his offspring after him, throughout their generations. And the New Testament makes it clear that in Christ, we are spiritual children of Abraham. And these covenant promises, these covenant blessings, this covenant responsibility apply to us. The covenant expectation to bring our children up in the knowledge of the Lord applies to us. Now, later in the Bible, Moses made it clear that this was not to be something just tacked on, but an integral part of family life. And this is the reading that we had this morning. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children and talk about them when you're at home, when you're away, when you lie down, and when you rise." Remember that bit I quoted earlier from Deuteronomy? It says the revealed things belong to us and to our children forever. Proverbs tells us, "Train children in the right way, and when they are old, they will not stray." Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians, instructed parents to bring children up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. It's right through the whole of the Bible. So the question, if you can remember, was, can children choose faith if not shown? Well, the Bible tells us that the answer to this is not usually, and it tells us that for Christian families, the prime place where children should learn about Jesus is within the family. Now, in the second reading we had about where Paul was writing to Timothy, Paul was telling Timothy to tell people about the gospel, but he was also telling him to demonstrate in his life as well about the gospel. Demonstrating through example, telling through teaching. Now, the telling may be done in a number of ways to children: reading the Bible and Christian books together, listening and watching Christian media. We used to have Adventures in Odyssey tapes for our kids when they were young. I don't know whether they're still going now, but they loved them. They were Bible stories brought to them in a very interesting and exciting way. So, there's all sorts of things. Talking about the Lord together, praying together, and as they get older, encouraging children to seek these things out for themselves. The demonstrating bit through example is also done in many ways. It should be an integral part of family life. We've recently been talking about fruitfulness on the front line. If we're in contact with children in any way, then they are definitely part of our front line. Now, for parents, loving and consistent discipline is part of it, if a parent is overindulgent sometimes and unnecessarily strict at other times, then a child will become bitter and resentful. And that's why Paul wrote to the Colossians, don't provoke your children, or they may lose heart. A large part of showing children is by consistently living the Christian life. This isn't just for parents, this is for anybody that has contact with children. I was recently walking in the park with a father and his 3-year-old daughter, and a text came up on his phone with some rather disturbing news on it. And he suggested there and then, or he asked if we could just stop and pray, which we did. But the 3-year-old said, don't be silly, Daddy. It's not bedtime. Well, Daddy hadn't consciously chosen to teach his daughter something at that time. But just through his Christian living, he taught her that prayer means being able to converse with God at any time and not just at bedtime. Well, come on, most of us here are well beyond the age of having young children. But we may be grandparents or even great-grandparents. And many of us will still have a role with children or in supporting parents as they strive to live out today's message. You remember Alec Mateo often used to speak of the gratitude that he had for his grandmother who showed him the way to faith. And in Paul's second letter to Timothy, he wrote, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that first lived in your grandmother, Lois, and then your mother, Eunice, and now I'm sure lives in you. And even for those of us without direct family contact, our contact with parents and youngsters is important. What about here in church? We can encourage children and parents if we show a gracious attitude towards youngsters. Even that sullen teenager with a bit of an attitude problem. We can be encouraging and supportive of the children's work here at St. George's. And we can support organisations such as CARE, Christian Institute and Christian Concern as they work to ensure that Christian viewpoints are accommodated in the laws and in our schools in this country. And finally, and this is really important, we can pray for Christian parents as they seek to bring their children up to keep the way of the Lord. And for the children that, as Isaiah wrote, when they turn to the right or when they turn to the left, their ears shall hear a word behind them saying, this is the way, walk in it. Amen.